Psalm 92, let's start with the first five verses. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Wow, that's an understatement. Yes. Amen? Yes. He saved your sinfulness. Yes. He saved you. Yes. It's a good thing to give him thanks. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High God, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A lot of praise going on there. And there's an acknowledgement of some of the things that God is and what he does for us. And so we're going to start with those there. Again, I said there's many psalms that speak of praise. Let me read just a few of them. Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. So there's no lack, no want of praise. You praise your God because you're thankful for him. You're in the car driving and you're singing all alone. You're praising him. You're just so thankful for all that he's done. Psalm 135, 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. It's a wonderful thing. It is pleasant to do so. Psalm 147, 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praise. It says again, unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. In other words, it's fitting, it's appropriate to praise God. And I trust it's not limited to when we're here in the congregation, but what a blessing it is to be in the church praising God, including our singing. Choir is a beautiful song. Always loved that song about the name of Jesus. And it did a fantastic job. And it's a blessing to us. We are blessed to have a choir. Amen. And so it behooves every believer to give thanks and praise to our God. And in these verses here, there's just a few things I'm going to pick out. As long as the voice will last. Well, no, maybe it'll last 2 hours, so you don't. The first thought is this. Praise is a reflection of God's goodness. Just his goodness. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Loving kindness. We have a loving God. I'm not so sure that with all that power that God has and is, if I was that character, that I'd be so kind to my creation. He gave us his Son. From his loving kindness, his care. He cares for your eternal soul and provided a way for you to be redeemed, bought back. We have a kind God. He's kind to us. He speaks to us through his word. And as you and I read our Bibles, there should be that message that's coming across from our God that he loves you. And there's a kindness in his love. That says about his faithfulness. God doesn't change. You and I change. Some people change more than others. They're up, down, this and that. And there's nobody that's just totally stable all the time and has no flux up or down. But our God is always faithful. He's always loving. He is always kind. We have a great God. He's worthy of our praise. Psalm 33, 5 says, he loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. What a phrase that is. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It speaks of who he is. Our God is good. We need to celebrate the goodness of God. His goodness has provided us with life, health, food, raiment, air, water, family, friends, not to mention salvation. An eternal home in heaven. It's only by his goodness. You know, God's people ought to be good. There should be some goodness about us. There should be a difference from us and the world. A lot of good people out there, kind people. It certainly should be noticed of Christians that we're like our God. We're kind. We're good. Good to be around. And notice verse 2, and it says, the morning, in the morning, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. Why is that? Well, he preserved us through the night when we were defenseless. And with every new day, life should be regarded as a gift, fresh and new. Every day God raises up from the shadow of death. That's what sleep is. It's a shadow of death. And he raises us up. He has protected us through the night. In the morning is a great time to meet with God and to praise him and to thank him and to ask him for his help for the day. Not help in our regard, but help us, Lord, that we might be in your sight pleasing, that we might reflect to others your goodness. Thankful. Praising God in the morning will make us happy and kind. It will prepare us for the toils and trials of the day, because you never know what each day will bring. Some days are rather easy and pleasant. Other days are very testing. We don't know which one's coming. How smart it is and how good it is to spend time with God in the morning, reflecting how good he is and acknowledging that, Lord, I can't do this alone. I need you. I need your power today. I need your kindness. It's not in me to be kind every day, kind to every person. I need your kindness to reflect in me, your goodness. It's a good time in the morning to do that. Barnes said this, he who sees nothing to be thankful for in the morning will see nothing to hope for in the day. He who has no gratitude for the past will have no bright anticipations for the future. You know, it should be a here, now, present thing in us to walk with God, to talk with God. And he invites us to. He's pleased to spend time with us. Truly a thankful heart. I've shared with you, I think, more than once, that during Bible college days down in Jacksonville on our bus route, Carl Wells and I, we ran bus 41. They had 43 buses that they ran. And on Saturdays, you visit your bus route. And from time to time, we'd stop over. I remember the first time that Carl Wells brought me to Mr. Grandison's house. And we knocked at the door, and this little old black man, white hair, met us at the door, and he was elated. Come in. And we began to chat. I was introduced, and something was said of his wife. And every succeeding time that I went, I'd ask about his wife, and he was just always full of joy. He reflected the goodness of God that should be reflected in you and I day to day. Mr. Grandison's wife was in a vegetative state on a hospital bed in the back room. And he cared for her. He cared for all her needs for 7 years. I remember one time when he brought me back to meet her. He always had a smile on his face. He never bemoaned his situation. And as he talked with me and introduced me to his baby, he stroked her hair. And, you know, I felt very small. But I thought, here, you know, what if I was this guy? How would I be day by day? You know, would I become bitter at my lot in life? But not Mr. Grandison. He delighted in his God every day. And the joy and the peace and the power that he derived was from his God. And it reflected on us. I don't know how many people he ever saw. He would leave the home, leave her alone, while they went down to the grocery store, got some groceries, and come back. Short trips only. And I remember when she passed, Carl Wells and I, we went to her funeral service. It was a black, Southern black church. And it was, without a doubt, a celebration. And they were singing, and that whole place was just a rocking. She's in heaven now. And I'd look over at Mr. Greenness. He was so happy. His God had taken his baby home till the time when he would take him home. He walked with God. He praised his God. And never would we ever leave his house but that he wouldn't grab our hands and pray. And he always pray for us by name. Lord, protect them in their going out and their coming in. And look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is a great psalm, pursuing help or acknowledging where your help comes from or where it should come from. Verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Well, the hills is a reflection of Jerusalem, the city on a hill. It refers to God, the house of God, where it was, the dwelling of God, because it continues and clarifies. Verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord. It makes it very plain, which made heaven and earth. And of course, I've mentioned many times how that it's almost a side note. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I think he can help me, you know? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth, he will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You know, I can never read that, but I don't think of Mr. Grandison, because that's what he prayed for on our behalf. Protect them, Lord, in their going out and their coming in. Well, he's a wonderful man, and he reflected the goodness of God. And we ought to do the same. And you guys are. That's why I love to come into church. Sometimes I have burdens, and I come in. I know I pretty much have a jovial disposition. That joy is from God. Sometimes it's burdens. I just love coming in, starting to talk, and see you guys. Because you reflect the goodness of God. It's good to be around you. That's God's design. We should always be that way. So it not only speaks of the morning, but it speaks in the night. Notice verse 2, back in our text, Psalm 92, it says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Every night we should reflect on the goodness and faithfulness of the Lord. We should be thankful and we should praise him for it. Praise is a reflection of God's goodness. Praise is a response to God's power. So we acknowledge who he is, we acknowledge what he can do, what he has done. Now notice verses 4 and 5, I think it speaks to that. It says, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work, what you have done. I acknowledge all that you've done, which was recorded in the word of God, what you have done. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. So whether this psalmist is talking about the work of creation or the work of God in general, the meaning is the same. We're to triumph and rejoice in his power. He spoke everything into existence. There's that, I don't know if it's a joke, a humorous saying, that where God, the devil challenges God and in making something. Yeah, sure, you create everything, but I can do it the same thing. I can too, you know. All right, well, this is what we're going to make. Now, here, you make it, and the devil goes over to scoop up some dirt, some mud. And God said, no. You can't use that. I spoke everything into existence without anything. God, in all of his power, the Bible says he spoke it, and there it was. We can't conceive that. We see what somebody can create. Some of you artisans, some of you are great with metal, Greg Ellis. Some of you are great with wood. Jack Graham, and others. But God's given you talent to, well, if you had the materials, what you can do is just, it amazes me, you know. And God has given you that talent and all. Nobody gave God anything. God spoke, and there was the sun. There was the universe. There were all the stars. We should reflect on that. Consider the greatness of our God, his goodness, and his greatness. Consider the great events in the Bible, creation, the flood. That was universal, the entire globe. Springs came forth from the earth, which were never there before. Rain came from the sky, which never came before. Why did this universal flood come? Because God said so in his power. The 10 plagues in Egypt, when he freed the Israelites from the bondage of Pharaoh, the Red Sea crossing. Can you imagine a crossing of the Red Sea? You know, there are some of these doubters that said, well, no, it wasn't there. It was up in this northern part of the Red Sea where at times of the drought where it gets very, very low, and they just walked across. To which somebody retorted, well, then that's an even greater miracle, how that Pharaoh and all his armies and all their chariots drowned in a little bit of water. Now, the Bible says there was a wall of water, both sides. You know how heavy water is? To hold up all that water by his might and his power, like a wall of both sides, for them to cross through, not through the mud, but on dry land. The power of God. I'm fascinated with the intricacies of a watch. You ever open one up? Who made these little, you know, they got these little cogs. They're so tiny. Who made them so tiny, you know? They must have had glasses that were extended this far, you know, to see it. And they all work perfectly. Click, 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 you know. It's amazing to watch, to look at a watch. God started time. He made time. He made the human body and all the intricacies of the human body and all the different systems work together. And even our greatest minds in their cumulative knowledge recorded and in computers and all through all these ages, they still don't know everything. They don't even come close. They do the best they can with what they have. And God spoke and there was Adam. The greatness of our God, his power. We must also consider the power of God to save. He raised Jesus from the dead, his lifeless, broken body, from the grave. He'll raise you too, someday, to eternal life. Looking forward to that. Let me share a couple of verses. Mark 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." What did he do? He was sick of the palsy. In other words, he was paralyzed. Well, he got up out of the bed, picked it up, and walked out. Jesus has power on earth, and not just for the physical, but to forgive sins. God alone can forgive sins. Jesus has the power to forgive the millions of sins in my life that I have or will commit. Paid the debt for every single one. Paid in full. You recall that essay that a teenager wrote, I've shared with you. I think I did more than once. And it had to do with titles. Oh, file cards. File cards, yeah. His idea of, he found himself as if he had died and now he's in this file, all these file boxes. And it goes through how each file represented his life, the good and the bad. And there was a card on every single thing, included all the bad. And as he read through some of them, he's so embarrassed. He'd look over his shoulder, was anybody there? And then Jesus walks in his essay. And he says, oh no, not Jesus, not him. But he saw all the cards. And he read all the cards. And he was to his embarrassment and his shame. And then Jesus began to write on each card his name. And he wrote it in blood. And I said, no, not your name. I'm the one who sinned. And he wrote his name on every single one with the words, paid in full. How many sins have you committed in your life? Or how many more will you commit? I'm not saying intentionally, but... And that they're all paid in full. The power of God to forgive. You have a lot to be thankful for. There's reason for us to praise God. A response to his power. Psalm 21:13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. Psalm 151, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Our God is all-powerful, omnipotent. That's the $5 word for it, omnipotent. So praise, we see in this psalm, is a reflection of God's goodness. It's a response to God's power. I got another one. Praise is a reaction to his protection. I know that we often consider that. At the end of our service, we're going to have Paul come up here and with Carla. We're going to have Carla sit on a chair and Paul stand behind her. And then we'll invite as many men as would like to come as we did last time Paul went. I don't want any hands on Carla. I want all the hands on Paul. And we'll say a few prayers for their protection. We take nothing for granted. They're leaving the country. Going to Guatemala. Pray for their protection. God would use them in a great way. God is the one who gives protection. And we want him to protect them. Aren't you thankful you're protected? This psalmist expresses praise for God's protection from his enemies. Look at 9 through 11 with me. Psalm 92. Verse 9, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But mine horn shalt thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire of on mine enemies. And mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. And boy, did David have enemies. They wanted his throne. Even his son pursued him for his throne. David ran a good part of his life. But God sustained him. Saul and all his armies couldn't lay a finger on David unless God allowed it because of God's protection. God protects you and I from countless things. We have no idea of all that God has protected us from. You know, we read the other night about God's providential protection of the pilgrims. Remember that? The fact that the ship that they used had been used to carry wine, and the spillage actually served to disinfect the thing, lest disease would have taken them all on that 66-day voyage. God's providential protection. The fact that one of them had brought this massive screw, likely for a printing press. When the mast snapped, they used that to repair the mast, or they'd had no hope. The fact that they arrived in New England at Cape Cod initially, as opposed to down near the Hudson, which was considered part of the Virginia colony at the time, because no doubt they would have been attacked down there. And we know that while there were some Indians, they didn't attack them here. That's God's providential protection. He protects you and I too. Psalm 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So we're thankful for his protection. He's always present with us. He's protected us from harm and from the temptations of the devil. Consider that. Go to Psalm 10. There are many, many times outside of God's staying back of your hand or your thoughts, or he brought the word of God, certain verses to your mind, that you would have followed into the temptation and sinned against God. and suffered the consequences thereof. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, notice verse 13, the Bible said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." That's the protective hand of God. Not just your personal, your body, but your soul, your holiness, your pureness. He's a great protector. We ought to be thankful to our God. Think of these things when we sing, when we praise Him. So we praise. Praise is a reflection of God's goodness, who He is. Praise is a response to God's power, what He can do. Praise is a reaction to God's protection, how He loves us, as a hen and her chicks, cares for us. And I have one more that I pulled out. You probably pull out more in Psalm 92. But praise is rejoicing in God's promises. I see some promises here that are made. The book is full of them. But let's look at verses 12 to 14 in Psalm 92. Verse 12 says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing." Well, that one is probably as accurate as any of the others. This is God's part of God's promise here. God promises to promote us, to cause us to grow and to flourish. In 92, verse 12, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." Think about the growth, spiritually speaking. It's by the hand of God. You don't just grow on your own. You have to exercise your will, your desire to want to grow in Christ. But in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, very familiar verses, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But," verse 2, "his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Well, you see, the water provides for the tree to grow. And that's the picture that he's giving. You see this big, huge tree growing by the river. Why? It's tapping into the water. It's you and I in our book, in the Bible, tapping in to his provision, his power. "That bringeth forth his fruit in season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This is a promise of God. He wants you to do well. He wants you to be fruitful, particularly in the things of the Spirit of God. And that takes time in the Bible. But if you'll do that, he has all kinds of promises to make you and I who we ought to be, who he wants us to be, that we might fulfill his particular plan and purposes. He has a plan and a purpose for my life. But he didn't just give me that plan. Here's the blueprints, have at it. No, he's the provider of everything to accomplish it. And he does the same for every one of his children. Every one of you have a purpose, part of God's master plan. We need to pursue it, be thankful for it. We should rejoice in the promise that he'll carry us through and make all provisions. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. God wants you and I to grow spiritually, to be mature. Spiritually mature, don't get offended. You know, it's easy to offend some people. We should do our very best not to offend, to be kind, to reflect the kindness of God. But, you know, if you're mature in your faith, nothing shall offend them, the Bible says, you see, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to grow to that place with maturity and knowledge of God and how to please him and be willing to do so. Praise is rejoicing in God's promises. Colossians 1:10, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God promises he'll bless you if you desire to know him better. If you surrender yourself, present your body as a living sacrifice, Romans 12. John 15, 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Abiding in him, tapping into him. The man or woman that walks with God will reflect a peace, a joy, a maturity, a delight in their God, a delight in people. God promises that to those who will pursue him. Fruitfulness is even promised to those that are past their prime. You notice that in verse 14, the last part, how it said they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, you see. It's not like you hit a certain age and all right, God's done with you and set you on the shelf. That's only by your choice and mine. God wants us to be fruitful. Now, it's true, physically, we probably can't do the things we used to do. That's why we have children. What a blessing. First Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen. Now, talk about his promises and a reason to rejoice. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That is a promise from the Creator God. The promise of heaven, which none of us deserves, but we're all been invited in by faith in his Son. And to experience heaven, you know, I praise our choir because I'm thankful for them. And the harmonies and the words of these songs, I mean, they touch your soul. I'm really thankful for them. I'm thankful for our choir. I really am. But when you consider that verse, and it says, nor ear heard the sounds that I revel and thank God for in this life. Can you imagine what our senses, they'll be blown away in heaven. Gives us some comfort. We consider those that God has taken home this past year or so. And we're saddened as we come through the holidays, missing them. But the comfort and the peace we get is the joy of knowing what they're experiencing is far greater than what we're experiencing. We say, oh, he would have liked that, or she liked that. This would, they really enjoyed this. Let me tell you something. There is no comparison to what we have had here, what they experienced here, and what they have there. The promises of God. So we need to give God thanks and praise for his goodness, his power, his protection, and his promises. Let's bow our heads.